Welcome to the Relationship and Wellness Podcast with Nicola Beer. Nicola runs transformational breakthrough programs for individuals and couples and has several award-winning audio programs. She also runs a holistic life therapist certification program where you can get paid to guide clients to profound change and work from the comfort of your own home. For details, visit www.nicolabeer.com today. Please note, places are limited and are available on first-come, first-served basis.
Hi and welcome. So happy you're here. I'm going to be talking today about the pursuit of financial success and how that affects relationships. We all have our individual dreams, goals, and an idea of what a life well-lived means to us. I've worked with many people where achieving financial wealth and success is their main focus. Their work or financial status is how they identify themselves, which is great if it works for them and does not impact other areas of their life. And by that, I mean it doesn't impact their physical, emotional, and mental well-being through overworking and pushing themselves so hard or cause them to have strained relationships. I've seen all too often the pursuit of financial success damage relationships and even end in divorce. So it's important for me to shed some light on this topic and share some tips on how to reduce the impact of financial drive and goals where they limit or hurt relationships. So first of all, I'm going to share the different areas and ways that financial success pursuit can hurt relationships. And I'll share a few experiences of different couples that I've worked with their names changed. Adam and Lara came to me because they were on a brink of separating and decided to give their marriage one last chance. Lara had come to hate Adam because she was carrying all the financial burden. When Adam lost his job at the start of COVID, he had been unemployed 5 years prior to that, and this just ignited the stress and annoyance within Lara. She couldn't believe that it happened again. Adam was looking for a job and he was doing all he could in a sector that had collapsed, and he firmly believed that Lara should just relax, that he would make more money in the future, it would balance itself out when his sector returned to a good standing, and that they were a team, it would all be fine. Lara was not so happy. She had three properties and she had big ambitious goals to acquire more assets in different countries. Financial success and living a great life was so important to her, and it crushed her that the man that she loved was ruining her dreams and plans. Adam was so hurt by her approach because even the year that he had off when he was unemployed 5 years prior, he still contributed financially. He used all his savings to make sure that he was paying 50-50. For all the household things, for all the children's activities, the children's needs. So he was like, couldn't understand how Lara was harmed by his previous unemployment and by this unemployment. He believed as soon as he could, he would make it up, and even said to her, look, you can just take time off. I will carry the family. But Lara was holding on to so much resentment. She was so irritated that she had all of these savings and Adam had no savings. Adam couldn't believe that their love and marriage did not mean more than money to Lara. Lara and Adam aren't alone in this situation. In fact, a study carried out by the American Sociological Review found that from all the men they researched, there was an increase of 32% risk in divorce amongst men who had lost their job compared to those who are in full-time employment. And this study supports the fact, perhaps, that many couples need support in transitioning into a new way of life where the husband is no longer working. And it's one of the many reasons why I facilitate breakthrough programs for those people who go through unemployment, whether it's men, whether it's women, because it's not only, of course, the financial fallout that may happen, but if someone is made redundant, it definitely can affect their self-esteem. Many people can go into a kind of depression. They can feel, I'm not good enough, I'm rejected, I'm worthless. these negative beliefs can start to creep in. There can be unresolved emotions that people carry, like anger, loss, stress. And then there can also be mixed in with that a lot of fear, fear about the future, fear about the relationship. And over time, these negative thoughts can just get so much that a person can start to feel that they're never going to be able to re-enter the workforce. They're never going to be able to get a job that's good for them. They're too old. The market's too difficult. And so these negative thoughts then create that reality, create that lack of motivation, and people stay stuck. So a lot of people come that do the breakthrough program. It's an intensive 3 days, and we just clear out all those negative thoughts, get them into a positive mindset where they believe, yes, I'm going to get a great job. Yes, I'm going to rebuild my finances. Yes, I deserve to be paid well. And I also work with couples where one person is so driven to save and to build their wealth and save and build their wealth that they are extremely tight with money. And this really affects relationships. Sometimes they're so tight, they just don't want to spend on anything that isn't a bare essential, including treats for children, including holidays, visiting relatives, gifts for friends and relatives. They want to keep everything very tight. This was the experience for Chloe and Dan. They booked my relationship transformation program because they'd hit a rock bottom and they were arguing over money. Chloe had become very tight. She questioned everything that was paid for, even medical bills, trips to see friends and family, weekend activities. And although Dan wasn't careless, he was tired of being controlled. Chloe wanted Dan to take a packed lunch to work. Dan wanted to have the freedom to choose what he wanted to eat each day and not have to take in a lunch with him. Dan felt controlled. If he wanted to buy a coffee on the weekend, let him go and buy a coffee. Chloe didn't understand this. We have coffee at home. She couldn't understand that he liked to drink sparkling water when water's free. Things like this started to become between them. Dan was annoyed that he didn't feel he was trusted with his own earnings. And he just felt that Chloe was stopping him and their daughter from living life. And it was pushing them further apart. And it was a major concern for Dan because Chloe kept asking for them to have another child. And he was just so scared. Well, if we're not getting along now, and if you're limiting our experience of life now, what on earth is it going to be like if we have another child? And this can happen a lot in relationships, actually, where couples argue over whether to add a second child or a third child or a fourth child into the relationship because of finances. One person saying, no way, absolutely not, we can't afford it. And the other person saying, we'll manage, it doesn't matter, our life is so much more important than being able to afford it, we'll find a way, and it can cause a lot of conflict. And I think I talked about a case in trauma of abortion where this was a huge fight between a couple that I supported and how I helped them get over that. So then there is a challenge with relationships where one person is very financially driven to the point where they are working around the clock. Workaholism. And being in a relationship with a workaholic is absolutely great if you are very independent, if you are also a workaholic, if you don't mind this and you support this in your partner. If your values are in conflict, if one of you has relationship values where you need to be present all the time, you need to have all these experiences, holidays, weekends, where you're fully present together. If you really need a lot of quality time in a relationship, if you really want your partner to share in all the experiences with you, you're going to be in conflict. Because one wants to work and build, and the other person wants to be with you, see you, have you there. And this I see time and time again. I worked with a couple, Amy and Bobby, and they booked a short break because Bobby was working too much and Amy was working too much. They both felt right, were both working too much. And Amy would openly admit that she used to work a lot more than Bobby, and so they agreed that they were going to have this quality time, a special four-day weekend together with no phones, no work whatsoever. And then just before the trip, Amy had a new contract come through. She needed to finish and send off a proposal. And she said to Bobby, look, I'm just going to do a few meetings when we're away. I just need to get this done. Bobby reluctantly agreed, and then it overtook their time together. And Amy felt really bad. She absolutely loved Bobby, but she couldn't get that balance right until we started working with her and we realised that she was driven by fear. And that's like so important to understand, is that when people want financial success for the enjoyment, for the freedom, for the choices that it gives, it's great. When people are driven by fear and they feel that I can't feel safe, I feel insecure unless I have this, then often, in my experience, working with so many people now, there's never enough. There's always more to be made. And people are trying to get that security and that safety from financial means. And the security and the safety has to come from within us. And that strength that comes from within us is like, you know what? No matter what happens, no matter what happens to me on the outside world, I am going to be okay. I'm going to look after myself. I'm going to be kind to myself. I'm going to speak constructively and compassionately towards myself. And no matter what life throws at me, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be able to get through it. And if you have that belief from the core of you, that confidence, that self-love and assurance, you don't need to be going for all these things because of fear. You can go for them all because you want them all, and that's important, and that's exciting, and that's who you are, and that's passion. If you're driven by those insecure feelings, there's never going to be enough. It's always going to be in you. So we need to get rid of that fear, because that's what makes people feel uneasy, feel unhappy, worry in a relationship. And being worried all the time, living your life with worry, is not a good, obviously, a way to be. Brian Robson, a professor from the University of North Carolina and psychotherapist, conducted a national study on couples with and without a workaholic person. The findings were concerning. Relationships where one or both parties were workaholic were 40% more likely to experience conflict and or separation than a couple without. 40%. And these stats are understandable. I see this firsthand, the impact that workaholism has on couples, especially, as I mentioned, when they have different ideas and values of what is a good work-life balance. And as I mentioned, I'm not judging anybody in this. I probably work a little bit too much myself, I must admit that. However, I would always make sure in my relationships that the person that I'm with understands, appreciates, they can tell me when they're upset about it, we can agree things that we're going to do together, and I commit to them, and I'm not letting them down. And that's really important. Discussing what is acceptable, what's not acceptable, right from the beginning, outlining your expectation. You know, sometimes people will fall in love with someone who's very financially driven. They know that's who they are. They work that much. Their relationship has always been like that. And yet then when they get married, they expect them to change. Or when they have children, they expect them to change. And that person's like, well, I've always been like this. I've always given you this much time. Why now? And these things need to be discussed before getting married, before having children, choosing what is going to work best for you both. Because couples that are happiest, you support each other's individual dreams and goals, and then you have shared dreams and goals. And it's important to have both. If you both just are on your own path, then you could separate because you're not aligned. And if you're both focusing on the family goals and you're neglecting yourself, people can then later in life feel very upset and want to leave the relationship because they feel like, I don't know who I am anymore, I've lost myself. Everybody has different ideas on what success means. Some people's success is going to university. Other people's success is having a massive family. Other people's success is having your own company. Other people's success is having multiple homes in multiple countries. Another study that was really interesting related to this was a study carried out by the Journal of Social and Personal Relationships. And this was based on whether a person identified their self-worth with financial success. And those that identify and link their self-worth with financial success had far more conflicts in their romantic relationships because it affected their ability to connect with others, the study found. People who were driven by the financial success prioritized working over connecting with loved ones, and this affected how happy they are in their relationship and in their family relationships. So the question really to ask yourself right now is your relationship with financial success giving you peace? Are you having loving, healthy relationships? Is there conflict? Do you have a good work-life balance? Is your life varied and interesting? Are you one-dimensional, work, eat, sleep, repeat? Or do you have a lot going on in your life? Do you have a poor relationship with money? Is money not working for you and you're the opposite? You're trying not to be financially successful because you've got some negative thoughts about that. These are all the different ways that I help people. It's really about realizing that money is just energy and you can create the right balance for yourself when you align it to what's most important to you in your values and get rid of any beliefs about money, about yourself, about relationships when it comes to this financial area. And this is what I teach in the Holistic Life Therapy Training, how to uncover your own values, how to help other people understand their values. Because our values are so important. They're what drive our behavior. They are who we are. They help us to evaluate things after they've happened, whether we see that experience as good and bad. And they get us out of procrastination. They motivate us to do things. And we also explore how to change limiting beliefs in three different ways. Limiting beliefs are those things that I mentioned to you, those beliefs, those decisions that we can make about ourselves that then become our true reality. If you believe, I'm never going to be financially successful, my relationships are strained, people don't understand me, I'm not going to be able to get what I'm worth, I'm never appreciated or respected in relationships, I'm not good enough, I'm not attractive enough, whatever these limiting thoughts are, they need to be cleared because they're going to block success. And so in the training, which is starting next year, it's a 12-week program. Some people are doing the training because they just want to improve their own life, clear their own emotional, mental, and physical blocks. Some people are joining the training because they want to help others. One lady wants to help women through miscarriage and baby loss. Another person is joining because they're going to run their own retreat center. People are joining for different reasons, and if you're interested in that, you can watch my masterclass while it's still available. There's going to put the link along with the show. It's an hour video on how to create change. And whether you decide you want to learn more about the Holistic Life Therapy Training or not, it's a really great video to understand how we can create massive shifts in ourselves very quickly when we use and apply the three secrets that I talk about in the video. So now I'm going to share some tips with you to help you overcome financial conflict if this is happening in your relationship. First, I want to emphasize that it's so important to have compassion for each other. A lot of our money beliefs, our relationship to working, comes from our childhood. Many people who grow up in poverty decide, I am no way going to go through that awful experience again. I'm going to do everything I can. I'm never going to be poor. Absolutely, that is never going to happen to me. And they put money very high up and work very high up and financial success very high up because they had the pain of not having enough. The pain often and the shame as a child of being the odd one out, of not being able to go on school trips or not having the school uniform match and things like that. And they're like, no way. Similarly, people can come from a very wealthy family where the emphasis was put on financial status. And they can also learn to be worthy of love, to make it in life. I've got to earn more than my parents. got to have a good empire myself. I need to have all these assets. And similarly, people in those two situations can go the opposite way. A person can grow up in poverty and say, this is me, this is how I live, this is my family. We don't aspire to much, we don't need to go for much, we're happy being poor. We don't need things. And sometimes I work with very wealthy people who struggle with money because they just believe that money caused evil. Money caused arguments. Money caused conflict. They don't want money. They hate money. So both sides can both hate money, and then that if you hate money, you're adding so much negative energy to money. And as I mentioned, like money is just energy. You're adding so much negative energy towards it. You're going to struggle with money. So it's very important if you are listening to this and you're struggling with money to clear out those negative beliefs, to get rid of any association with money that's not supporting you, because our beliefs create our reality. So what can you do as a couple if you're having conflict? It's so important to sit down and go through your lifestyle choices together. What is really important to you? What really makes you happy? Does wearing designer brands make you really happy? Does going on holiday make you happy? What do you both really want? And finding a way to have and accommodate one another, putting a spreadsheet together, going through your incomings and outcomings, having maybe a set amount you can spend each quarter, each month, each year on your individual things that you really want to do, where it's balanced, it's equal, and you get to have that money, but the other person can't judge, can't say, what are you doing with that and what are you doing with that? You both get that freedom and it's agreed. And one can spend it on alcohol and going out if they want to, the other person can spend it on handbags, the other person can spend it on whatever it is that it is important to you. That can sometimes help couples. Also really important to remember that salary differences shouldn't affect how you see one another. I often hear how a person feels degraded because the salary that they're bringing home. My salary is peanuts compared to them, or their salary is rubbish compared to mine. And, you know, it's so important to not get into that mindset and not see each other like that. And then, of course, agreeing, if you're having a family, who are you both going to be working full-time? Is one person going to be staying at home? How does that impact the relationship? How long is that person not going to be working? And making sure that you both agree before having children, because otherwise it can cause a lot of conflict later on. And being transparent, having financial meetings regularly, maybe every 3 months, every 6 months, every month, it's up to you. Couples where I've helped them to create that habit, it's done wonders for their relationship. Hiding things, financial infidelity can cause so much damage. I've had it where people have racked up credit cards, where people have got really great bonuses, but they've hidden it from their partner because they want to treat themselves to different things. And it can just cause a huge conflict. So being open, being honest, and working together as a team. And also putting your goals together, your financial goals down on paper together. What are you working hard towards? What are your dreams? Is it to travel? Is it to have a certain retirement? Is it to gift your children with some things? What do you want for yourselves? The more you can align, the more you can work together, the closer your relationship is going to be. So knowing your reasons for financial success and being realistic is so important, and making sure that there is that balance. Now, I love the 5 regrets of the dying, and I'm just going to be sharing that with you because I think it really helps us to think about what is really important. So Bronnie Ware, a palliative care nurse, shared the top 5 regrets of people who were terminally ill. She served as a nurse, and she interviewed them all, and she asked them. And this is great to just check in with ourselves every so often, every year maybe, when we're setting our New Year goals. Or it doesn't have to be New Year, of course. I set goals all around the year, depending on what mood I'm in. So it doesn't have to be them, but like just taking stock of what is really important to me. It's good to do that a few times a year. So the first one, regret, is I wish I had the courage to live a life true to myself and not the life others expected of me. Instead of making others happy, do what makes you happy, because you're going to be a much happier person doing that. A lot of people that do the Breakthrough Program with me, they don't know what makes them happy. They've lost themselves. And when you can shine rather than hide who you really are and what you really want to please others, you're going to attract to you so much joy, and the right people will come to you. The second regret of the dying is, I wish I hadn't worked so hard. When you're told you that you don't have long to live, I guess it's natural that this was the number two. A lot of people there felt, I wish I didn't work so hard. I could have done loads of different things instead of focusing on work. They said, well, there's a whole life out there to be explored and enjoyed, and I was working too much. Do you think that you could be one of those people that may regret that? So looking after your relationships and yourself is so important. Then there is the wish I had the courage to express myself. A lot of people tend to suppress emotions to avoid any difficult conversations or confrontations. And they don't share their emotions. They suppress. And when we store things in our body and we don't speak up, when we keep those emotions in us, and I talk in the holistic life therapy, how to release them, and the people that are taking the course will actually get into helping others in the course to release them, you can become free. It's so important to feel confident to be able to express yourself and not keep the emotions in the body, because this is where we get ill, we get stomach aches, our immune system's low, we get other illnesses. Four is, I wish I'd stayed in touch with my friends. It can be so easy to get caught up in life responsibilities that we can forget our friends. And that obviously has a negative impact on people's happiness. They wish they'd kept those friendships alive. And then the fifth is, I wish I let myself be happier, which is a really interesting one. And it's basically recognizing that people limit their own happiness sometimes. Maybe because of working too much. Maybe because they're too busy being busy. They're not smiling. They're not allowing themselves to enjoy happiness. Or they're not allowing themselves to pursue a career that's going to bring fulfillment, that's going to bring purpose. They're not going and taking risks in different areas of life. And that's one of the sad things that I sometimes see when I work with people, that they're so caught up in this financial success that they're staying in jobs they absolutely hate. To the point where their husband or wife says, please leave. You're miserable every weekend. You're tired every day. We can take the financial hit. Just quit. And they're like, no, because I've got this bonus coming or this pension. And no, I couldn't take a salary cut. And they just stay in an unhappy environment and they complain. And nothing is going to drag your happiness down, your energy down, than complaining. So by all means, do anything if you can do it without complaining. But complaining really affects relationships, affects your own happiness, and it's just not worth it. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. From my heart to yours, I'm going to be creating another podcast coming up on what to do if you're working together in a relationship, because that has different financial stresses and relationship stresses. So that will be coming up. And wishing you a wonderful day ahead. For those of you that are interested in learning a bit more about the Holistic Life Therapy School, I have created a masterclass. It's free at the moment and it talks through the three key secrets to creating lasting change. So whether you're interested in joining the school or not, I'm sure you'll love it. And I'm going to put the link provided along with this episode. Take care. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Relationship and Wellness Podcast with Nicola Beer. If you are interested in finding out more about becoming a holistic life therapist, would like to get Nicola's mentorship directly, or check out the award-winning audio programs, visit www.nicolabeer.com today. Subject to availability, a waitlist may apply.